ESPN College Football Podcast, hosted by Joey Galloway and Kevin Agande.
Welcome to the ESPN College Football Podcast. Kevin Agande here with you on a Thursday, December 30th, just a couple days away from New Year's Day, and we will get to the New Year's Bowl games as well as tomorrow's semifinal contest. Joey Galloway going to join us with his picks as well as Heather Dinich and her expertise and inside information when it comes to a playoff expansion and why there's hope potentially at the start of next year when it comes to the discussion of expansion. Maybe we will get an answer on will we reach a number of 8 or 12 teams. And Joey and I will also talk about that. I want to get his thoughts about the bowl season right now, opt-outs by players and coaches, and what does he think of playoff expansion and what's his number as of right now. For a guy that likes the current setup, he has a number of teams in mind. We'll get to that in a moment. Before, I want to mention a couple things. Listen to Swaggo and Perk with Marcus Spears and Kendrick Perkins. We got new episodes every Tuesday, wherever you listen to podcasts, or watch the show on YouTube. And also watch NBA Today, 3 Eastern, noon Pacific on ESPN and the ESPN app, or listen to the show as a podcast. So our final weekend of picks here. I've got a 3-game lead against Joey. We will get to those games on New Year's as well as the playoff semifinal. But first, let's talk about the bowl season. It's our final podcast here before we go into 2022. We are in beautiful South Florida. Joey Galloway, Kevin Agande here with you. Joey, I think we're gonna take a look at some of the New Year's Day games as well as the semifinals. We'll make our picks. I do want to get your quick thought on the bowl games so far. We are seeing a growing number. The reality of, you know, where we're at when you're playing multiple bowl games and other opportunities are out there, like getting ready for the draft. You were in a position like this, you know, more than two decades ago. Different situation in the sense that I think the emphasis of playing in bowl games was different than what it is now. But your thoughts on some of these, the games we're going through, and when you try to say, all right, what do you think of this matchup? The first question you have to find out is, all right, what are the opt-outs? And how is COVID affecting these rosters? I mean, your thoughts right now of this week with how wild it's been with COVID and then some of these opt-outs.
It's not just the opt-outs now. We got a game against Oklahoma-Oregon last night that literally you go into the game and there's two guys coaching the teams that won't be coaching.
Great point.
I mean, you went and got, I mean, they might as well got you off of TV, let you go coach when I'm jumping there. So it's disappointing where we're going. I think the playoff situation started the situation with the bowl games, making the bowl games seem and feel as if they're just not that important. I mentioned this last night. Anytime you have situations where Clemson and Ohio State don't make the playoff, don't win the Big Ten, the ACC, they have to go to the Rose Bowl or another bowl, it feels like a disappointing season. Ohio State didn't sell all their tickets that were allotted to them for the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, there were a few thousand tickets, which was stunning.
And then the next part of that is then the players, they also opt out. So we've now created this thing where we literally have the playoff and the rest of it is just like an exhibition game, basically. So I don't know how we recover from that unless or until we add teams to the playoff. I think this is just the direction we are going to head, because if these teams, if Oklahoma, if Oregon, if Clemson, if these teams were in the playoff, if it's expanded, then I don't think we have Coach Stoops coaching Oklahoma. I don't think we have players not playing in these games. So for that reason alone, it looks like we're going to have to expand.
Perfect example is if Notre Dame is involved, they were the first team out is Brian Kelly at LSU, right? Exactly. How does that play out? If Lincoln Riley, you know, gets to the Big 12 championship game, and does that change the entire outlook on how he's going to approach taking the USC job and the timing of that, right? And also, you know, you brought up a great point with coaches and different coaches on the sidelines. The early firings of coaches in programs, major programs like USC and LSU, have changed things too because of that early signing period in December, right? The approach of we need to get our guy locked in before, so everybody's, you know, all ducks are in a row here to turn the program around with this recruiting cycle, right?
A prime example is Dan Lanning at Georgia, who's taking the Oregon job. He's going to coach Georgia because they're in the playoffs. And it's a different situation. We might have to expand this thing out to 99 teams, Kev. I mean, because honestly, that's just where we are. The playoff matters to people and everything else does. I mean, we would have had a terrific matchup in Pitt and Michigan State.
Yep.
If Kenneth Walker plays,
Kenny Pickett plays.
When this game is announced, it's like, man, this is going to be a fun game to watch. Mm-hmm. These two guys opt out. I mean, don't get me wrong. It might still be a great game. It just doesn't feel as good.
You lose the little flavor, right? The buildup of following two guys that were in the Heisman conversation all season. You're like, oh, I want to see them now face off against each other. I'm with you on that. I also think that they've got to reevaluate windows here on when it comes to recruiting. That should be done after the season. I do not think it should be done right after the regular season. No, that should be done after the postseason. Let's create different windows for transfer portals, different windows for, you know, the opportunity to look at recruiting and changing all that. The idea of LSU and USC doing what they did, it just, to me, it's not the first time. It will not be the last time that we're going to see major programs when they want to change. They're going to decide, let's do it now. Let's get ahead of it. And then you see the damaging effects that it has here. Now, real quick, before we get into it, you talk about playoff expansion. Are you 8-team? Are you 12-team? Because I've been hearing a lot of 12-team to get more programs involved, like you said, because if you have that 8-team cutoff, then what about team number 9, 10, 11 who have the opt-outs?
I honestly was not for expansion. I like the 4-team playoff. But I think we've moved to a different era. So as we've moved to now that players can get paid, it changes my idea of this. So a couple of years ago, I was like, if you keep expanding this thing, these players are now being asked to play something that is more like an NFL length of schedule, and they're not getting paid. And so why would you expand? So now that they are getting paid and they can use their likeness, and again, I understand that not everybody will get paid, but I think now we've moved to a different idea in college football. Expansion, if we're going to expand. Let's go to 12. Throw them all in there. Let's see what happens. I don't know. I don't like the direction we're going in college athletics. I don't like the way the transfer portal works. I don't like the way these coaches are jumping ship before they finish out seasons with their team. We literally get to the end of a season and we have however many quarterbacks. Every time I come in to do a show, we got another quarterback and a guy that played, not like the backup, a guy that played that is in the portal going somewhere else. I don't like any bit of how this feels for college football, and I don't know where it ends. I can't imagine what it'd be like to coaching one of these teams now. I can't imagine what it would be like to play on one of these teams now. It all feels messy to me. And I think it's going to be a few years before we figure out what damage has been done to college football. So since we're just running this thing like, hey, it's the wild, wild west, let's go to 12. Why not?
Yeah, especially it feels like the wild, wild west, and we're making the rules up on the fly.
Yes.
Every week, yes, something new absolutely happens. It's like, and at the start of this, I think at the start of December, I was like, I'm good at 8 teams. It's amazing that within 3.5 weeks, I've said, yeah, 12 teams, not bad idea. Maybe I'll go in on the 12 teams, and the top two teams get byes, right? Give them a reward. for something in the regular season. To me, it generates the conversation. If somebody wants to say, hey, how about the top four teams get byes, and then we have four games with eight teams, I'm down with that as well, because you still have more engagement of more programs trying to get inside that top 12 window. I think when you expand it more than that, then it gets a little hairy, and I could change my mind in a year, because if we consider how this is evolving.
Yeah, and then instead of us doing half times sitting here in Miami, we get to call a game. Let's go call one. Let's get to a place where there's so many playoff games that we get to call one.
Whatever that would number. Be great.
Hey, look, that's my answer. Whatever number of games takes us to a place where we get to call a game, that's the sweet spot. That's where I want to go.
Hey, if we're just making up the rules too, I'm going to say as well that the team that is at home in a playoff is actually playing in their home stadium as well, because I love the environment. Maybe the final two games, or maybe the semifinals and the championship, you go to a neutral location. But the first round should be at the home team, because I want to see that environment. I get rewarded. Let's not talk about the idea of returning tickets at the Rose Bowl, right? So to me, if you have the environment where you can go somewhere and let's just say an SEC team has to go to a Big Ten environment, right, in December. Bless you. Bless you twice. So, and three times. Are you okay now? All right. You know, there's a mute button. You can always press that. Hey, you're on a roll with a four. Are you one of those guys?
That only means I was allergic to that answer you just gave, Kev.
You don't like that idea?
No, I don't like. Now, look, if we're going to do playoffs here, now that's the part I don't like. Unless you split the tickets 50-50. So if you have a game,
of course, yeah, split the tickets 50-50.
You split the tickets 50-50. That way, you're not having a team that made the playoff having to walk into a stadium that is 90% for the home team. Like, if you split the tickets, Kev, I'm all for.
I'm with you on that. I'm totally with you on that. Let's split the tickets. Give them the opportunity where the opposing, you know, team can go on the road and how about experience an environment that they've never experienced before, you know, in a fantastic college setting. I'm for that.
I'm okay with that.
Okay. Well, it's nice to see that we're in agreement with something. And let's get to our games. Because Taylor, you want to give us the gap that I have here on Joey as we approach our picks here for the final time this season?
Sure. The gap right now sits at three games. Kevin has 45 wins on the season. Joey has 42. Again, from that a little bit of a collapse there in November from Joey. No big deal. Kevin, I guess you just have to. I mean, just pick all the same games as Joey, right? That's been the formula.
Hey, Taylor.
Yeah. Taylor, I appreciate that advice.
Hey, Taylor, next time you do the calculations, can you add in the Temple games that Kevin
No, we're not, come on. We're not doing that. We've established that. Let's continue to move on.
It's funny how your social media, you claim Temple, but the minute we talk anything official, all of a sudden it's like Temple who? I don't know what you're talking about.
Because this audience is not that interested in the Owls, especially when it's a down year. So let's go on.
When it's a down year. Gotcha. Okay.
All right, let's get to the games here. Let's talk about some of the New Year's games. Let's start with the Outback. Penn State versus Arkansas. There are six, you know, big opt-outs for Penn State, headlined by Jahan Dotson. On the other side for Arkansas, it feels like we have to do this in every game on the opt-outs. Treylon Burks, wide receiver, Trey Williams, a defensive end for the Razorbacks. Arkansas favored by two. Who you got?
I am going to take Penn State in this game. This is a crapshoot. With the opt-outs, you have no idea what this is about to look like. But I will take James Franklin getting his team motivated to go play in this game.
I'm going Arkansas, laying the 2 points. All right, let's see if you can make some ground or if I'm going to widen my lead. Let's go to the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl. Oklahoma State, Notre Dame. We've had some opt-outs of the coaching staff. Brian Kelly's gone. Marcus Freeman is there. Meanwhile, Jim Knowles, the DC there at Oklahoma State, is now at Ohio State. Jaylen Warren is back for the Cowboys at the running back position. On the other side, no Kyren Williams. He opted out. How about this? Notre Dame hasn't won a major bowl game in over a quarter of a century. A major bowl game. They are favored by two. There's a lot of discussion on how this team's going to respond. They want to play for Marcus Freeman. I believe in that emotion. I think that emotion will last for maybe one or two series. I don't know if it's going to carry you the rest of the way. But I'm going to actually go with Notre Dame. With all that buildup and conversation, I'm going with them laying the two.
I absolutely knew all of that lead up was taking us to you going with Notre Dame. I'm going Notre Dame also. Again, this theory hasn't worked for me earlier in the season when I applied it to Nebraska. Eventually, something has to go your way. It didn't work for me with Nebraska. I'm still going to use it with Notre Dame. Eventually, you got to win one. I like Marcus Freeman. I'll go with you and the Irish.
All right, let's go to the next one. VRBO Citrus Bowl, Iowa against Kentucky. Opt out for Iowa is Tyler Goodson, their biggest threat on offense. And for Kentucky, you know, when you watch Iowa, it's all about creating turnovers and shortening the field and then the punting game. Kentucky, on the other side, they have the third worst turnover margin. And it's Kentucky that's favored by three, laying the 3 points. Who you got in this?
I will take Kentucky. Iowa's offense is bad. Goodson out makes it worse. I like Kentucky.
I have no idea how Iowa's going to score points. I am 100% with you, unless they get a block punt, a return kick, or a sack, and then they scoop and score. So I'm with you. I'm going Kentucky as well. When Tyler Goodson's not on the field, where are you going? Laporta, understood, but who's getting him the football? I can't even. Let's move on. The Rose Bowl presented by Capital One, Utah versus Ohio State. The big storyline we talked about a little bit of with the opt-outs. The line at 1 point, Buckeyes 6.5, has now dropped to 4.5. Olave, Wilson out, Haskell Garrett opting out as well. Let's not forget, though, they still got Jackson Smith and Jigba. They still got Travion Henderson. They still got C.J. Stroud. Utah on the other side, Devin Lloyd. I love the defense. I love the physicality. I'm actually going with Utah, and I'm going to get the 4.5.
Unfortunately, Kev, I agree with you on this one. I think Ohio State wins the game, but I'm going to also take the points in Utah. I think Utah is going to be a little bit more excited to be there. I think, you know, we just discussed Ohio State didn't sell out all their tickets for the Rose Bowl. You got these opt-outs. I think Utah is a team very excited about their situation as opposed to the feeling at Ohio State of we didn't make the playoff, we didn't win the Big Ten. This season wasn't what we expected it to be. And I think Utah would be way more excited to be there.
And the physicality of that Utah defense, I think, plays a huge role. I think that they are – like, I know some Utah fans – who are planning everything that they did this holiday season for the Rose Bowl. Like, that place is going to be a sea of Utah red everywhere because this is one of the biggest games, no down program history. They're getting the chance to play in the Rose Bowl. It means a lot to them. So I think that plays a big role here with Kyle Whittingham's group. All right, All-State Sugar Bowl, Baylor versus Ole Miss. Ole Miss looking for their first 11-win season. Matt Corral will play. On the other side, Gary Bohannon expected to start as well, quarterback for Baylor. I'm going with Ole Miss laying the 1.5.
Glad you said that, Kev. I'm going Baylor. I needed you to go
you
the
did. You
direction
did.
On yes. something here.
Yeah.
And I like Baylor. I like Bohannon being back. I like that team this year. I really think that what they've done this season, they're playing a lot of confidence, and they're going to build on this bowl game going into next season. So I'll take Baylor.
You needed to separate yourself. If you're down three, now it's just the second game where opposing each other. You needed that. All right, let's go. Let's get a little breakdown here of the semifinal and the reason why we're here in Miami. Capital One Orange Bowl. Featuring Georgia and Michigan, the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic, Cincinnati and Alabama. 13.5 points, Bama laying the 13.5 against a team like Cincinnati that's experiencing this for the first time. Is that too much in your mind? Like where do you sit here on this matchup and Nick Saban getting the time to prepare and Cincinnati coming in undefeated?
I'll take Alabama in this one. And I think that two touchdowns isn't crazy from the Alabama team we've seen in the SEC championship game. Now, if you'd asked me this question after we at Washington play Auburn, I might have felt differently. But we watched what they did against Georgia. They've had way more time to prepare. And as much as I respect and think that Cincinnati is an outstanding football team, I think late in this game, Alabama is going to win by at least 14.
Okay, late in this game, that means you think that it's going to be close going into the fourth quarter, maybe a one-score game, and then Bama separates itself in the final couple of minutes. Well, how do you foresee this game playing?
Well, I don't think – see, when you talk 14, I mean, that is like two touchdowns. To me, that is a close game. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't view 14 points. I think, you know, a touchdown here or there can go either way when you get late in football games and you're starting to take chances that you would normally take. You're starting to get away from your game plan that you would normally do, and somebody might get another touchdown. So I don't think that's a blowout. So that's why it's not that big of a stretch for me to see this being a 14-point game in Bama's favor.
Unfortunately for you, Joey, I'm with you. I'm going Bama as well, laying the 13.5. I'm with you. I actually think this game will be close at halftime, and then in the third quarter, late in the third quarter, Bama will separate themselves and win a game like this by 17.
Hey,
so, all right, let's go to the Capital One Orange Bowl, a game that I think is the most intriguing matchup of the week, and Georgia laying 7.5 against Michigan. I'm going to go with Michigan taking the points. I think Georgia wins the game, but I just can't see this game being more than 7 points, and you're putting your head down because I think you agree with me and you don't want to take Georgia.
I agree with you, Kev, and I'm going to take Georgia. How about that? That's all I got to say because I don't want to take Georgia. I really like what Michigan's done. I like what Josh Gattis has done with the offense. I like where Cade McNamara is right now, and I think they have a better run game at Michigan. I'll take Georgia.
Just for one reason, not because you really like Georgia, just because of this, what we're doing,
because,
right?
Because Temple was not playing. So, hey, I got to make up some games. I'll take Georgia.
A desperate Joey Galloway is the best Joey Galloway. I appreciate that. I'll see you, of course, later on the day. We'll make some good TV. All right, buddy.
Sounds good.
It's time to empty the notebook on the ESPN College Football Podcast.
Great to have our fantastic college football reporter, Heather Dinich, joining us here on the podcast. And Heather, this feels like an easy transition to a conversation Joey and I just had when we were talking about the bowl season and this concept of playoff expansion. It has been heavily discussed. You are in the thick of it, and you will continue to be in the thick of it. What is next here for the committee when it looks at the idea of expanding past four?
So I will be heading to the national championship game in Indianapolis, and so will the 10 FBS commissioners, Notre Dame Athletic Director Jack Swarbrick, and the critical component of it, the 11 presidents and chancellors who actually have the power to change the playoff. And that's what's different about the national championship meetings this year, because typically they meet that Monday morning before the game. And this year, what's different is prior to that Monday morning meeting, the commissioners and Swarbrick are going to meet Saturday and possibly Sunday to continue their talks, which college football fans have been hearing ad nauseum for months and months now. This, remember, Kevin, this was announced on June 10th.
Uh-huh.
June 10th, a 12-team format was announced that it was under consideration. And here we are heading into 2022, still under consideration. And, you know, this is pretty much it for these guys in Indianapolis. They, you know, it's time to make a decision. And they know that. And one of the things that came out of the last meeting in Dallas was, if they don't do this and they scrap it until a new contract, and this one goes through 2025, then it doesn't have to be unanimous. The reason it has to be unanimous right now is because there's a contractual agreement. Every one of those guys put their names on paper along with ESPN, all the, you know, the Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, et cetera. Everyone has to agree to change it because it's a contractual binding agreement. If they wait until the end of the contract, the 12-year contract runs out, it's much easier to change it with disagreements, right? You're trying to get all these people to come to a unanimous consensus, which is extremely difficult. So I have my doubts that this is going to happen, but I still do believe that a 12-team playoff is where the sport will wind up eventually.
Okay. Patience is the key, especially for what you do, considering you've been through all these meetings and you're thinking, hey, is this the one? Is this the one? I remember you and I talked to, I think, towards the end of November, saying that we may see something now, that movement here at the end of November, beginning of December. Here we are now talking about the second week of January, potentially, this meeting. And let's hope we have a resolution very, very soon after that meeting. All right, let's talk about the current teams that are in. Yeah, Alabama, of course, you know, it's business as usual. They understand what it's like. They understand the experience. Cincinnati, not only just representing the program, they're representing the Group of Five. Michigan, the first experience for Jim Harbaugh. And all the expectations over the years now coming to fruition. It's kind of funny that the year he has no expectations, he finally gets here, right? When they're 100-1 odds at the beginning of the season. What kind of statement can Cincinnati and Michigan make in these two games on Friday?
Well, these guys have a chance to hit an absolute home run. And for Michigan, it's to quiet all the critics, right? How long did we hear that Jim Harbaugh's job was in jeopardy? And I'm not sure that he has been given enough credit, in all seriousness, for the remarkable turnaround that that program has made. I mean, think about it. And to be in the college football playoff with a chance to win the national title, and the staff changes that he made, and some of his defensive players like Aiden Hutchinson talked about that this week. I mean, the hire of Mike McDonald as defensive coordinator was critical, and these staff changes to get the players to buy in and make the right decisions. I mean, you look at a guy like Nick Saban and why he's been able to sustain the success. Look at who he surrounded himself with as assistants who have gone on to head coaching positions. Right. You're a great coach if you surround yourself with great assistants. And I think that Jim Harbaugh did a great job of that, making the changes. Look at how it didn't work for LSU and Ed Orgeron. One of the reasons that collapsed was because he made bad coaching hires around him after that national championship game. So a lot of credit goes to Jim Harbaugh for making those changes, the players buying in. But here's the thing. Michigan and Cincinnati are in totally different situations because Michigan has already won. They've already won because they're in, right? Cincinnati, if they get crushed by Alabama, Kevin, you know what the narrative is going to be. They didn't belong in the first place. Sure, let them take a swing, Group of Five, blah, blah, blah. And we go back to that expansion discussion, right? Do they really deserve to be in this thing? Do they really deserve a guaranteed spot? But, you know, I go back to the bowl game last year with Cincinnati and Georgia. And they put up a fight. You know, that was a respectable performance. They had a chance to win. And I think if we see that, I mean, I don't think that there should be many naysayers out there. I don't think to be critical, right? This is Alabama. Look what they did to Georgia.
Yeah, yeah.
If you can hang for four quarters against those guys, it's a great game. And I hope it is a great game as a college football fan. But if they get steamrolled, I think it's going to be really tough to overcome just in the eye of public perception and that narrative, I think, for Cincinnati and the Group of Five. But I don't think that it's fair that Cincinnati is really shouldering the banner for the entire
Completely agree.
I mean, it's not like what Luke Fickell did is remarkable. I mean, I don't care who you are or who you played, to win every game is a hell of an accomplishment, and they deserve a lot of credit for the position they're in right now.
I completely agree with you. I think anybody that's following college football understands what Cincinnati's done the last 2 years and how they continue to rebound. And I think some people on the national perception is, they just got in. They earned their way in over 2 years. I know we judge them on what they do this specific season, but let's not forget that showing against Georgia played a huge role in how they were, I think, lined up at the beginning of this season, where last year they had to do this uphill battle no matter what they were going to do, right? I think they were given the benefit of the doubt to start the season because of what they did against Georgia last year by keeping it close. Wouldn't you agree? Because really a lot of this is how you start in the beginning of the season, that perception to break down and continue to move up in the rankings.
Yeah, I do agree. I think that certainly helps. But I also think, with all that being said, that there is a reality about depth, recruiting, size, and speed that programs have to overcome. And I think Cincinnati, particularly in the secondary, the defense has been their identity, is an outstanding team for maybe three quarters, a half against Alabama. But when you look at what, and the matchup, you know, we can talk about this all day. Alabama has had over 300 passing yards in the last 8 games. So it's going to be their wide receivers against the DBs. And a lot of that, all that goes to how much push you can get up front and how much pressure. That's, you know, the pass rush is where that all starts. But I think at some point you wear down. And if Cincinnati is going to have a chance, they cannot turn the ball over. And Desmond Ridder has done that on a consistent basis over the last couple of games. They have to play a perfectly flawless game. And they have to hope that we see those Alabama vulnerabilities that we saw throughout the season for waves. Because you saw it against Arkansas, you saw it against LSU. You know, there were times where all of us said, this Alabama team might not be the best team we've seen, right? But if they go out and play like they did against Georgia,
Good luck. Good luck. But yeah, and you know, to your point, that was first 59 minutes against Auburn, right? Everybody's sitting there being like, this ain't it. Whatever we were feeling or whatever we were talking about. And this is the consistency that we're seeing from Alabama, this up and down inconsistent. They were consistently inconsistent all season long. And then they blow out the doors there against a Georgia defense that came in with all the hype. So I'm curious also, here's another thing. You talk about depth. You know, Cincinnati cannot afford to have one of their big name players go down. When you look at Alabama, Mechie goes down. They have a bunch of other 4- and 5-star guys ready to go, next man up. And the thing is that benefits Alabama is they have 3 weeks to get ready for that.
Right. And Bill O'Brien talked about that. I mean, you know, they've got Ja'Cory Brooks and JoJo Earl. They've got their veterans, Jamison Williams, Slade Bolden. Like, there's so many guys there that they can turn to. But to me, it does all start up front for Alabama, because we saw Jekyll and Hyde from Auburn to Georgia. They gave up 7 sacks and against Auburn, and then they gave up none. And when they gave up none, you saw what Bryce Young can do. Keep on high.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, that's it, right? That was the difference.
Yeah, and that's the difference between Alabama's dominance, of course, through the years. The depth and the ability to bounce back. And then, of course, you know, Nick Saban figuring out, I need a dynamic quarterback each and every year that can make plays and can leave the pocket. And that's what Bryce Young did, specifically against what we all thought was a historically great defense in Georgia. We'll see how that team responds as well against Michigan and the physicality of that offensive line for the Wolverines. Heather, it's been great. Before I let you go, though, are your Browns going to, are your Steelers going to do anything against the Browns? Do you have any hope in these final 2 games? And I'm sorry to bring it up, but, like, do you have any hope after what we just saw against Kansas City?
Yes, I always have hope. I'm clinging to hope because they beat the Ravens. Did you see that game? They also tied this year. So.
Yeah, the Lions. They tied the Lions.
Oh my gosh! I want to crawl under my desk. I'm holding out hope, but not very much.
Well, best of luck to you, of course, this weekend. And I think that's the Monday night game, Steelers and Browns. At least that's what my schedule looks like. I could be wrong, but best of luck to you and happy new year. And I look forward to talking to you in 2022.
Sounds good, my friend. Same to you.
Big thank you to Heather Dinich. She has her terrible towel behind her every time we get the chance to talk, supporting the Steelers. Hey, you know what? Before we go, Taylor Schwenk, congratulations to your Maryland Terps. They were fantastic yesterday getting that bowl win.
Yeah, that was cathartic, especially against an old ACC foe. Capping off a 7-win season. I mean, this is really, I mean, I'm legitimately excited about the program and the direction it's going. Shout out to Lox, Leah, Tahib Still, all the lads. I mean, it was a very exciting afternoon. Really enjoyed it.
Very cool. Put up 54 points. You can enjoy the game in that second half as the defense scores, the special teams in the beginning with the big plays. Good for you. And you know what? The most important thing, it feels like Tagovailoa adds stability at the quarterback position. Now you could just continue to add playmakers, which Loxley does a really good job when it comes to recruiting. Mm-hmm. So good offseason for you after yesterday's dub. Big shout out to Joey Galloway as well. You'll see a lot of him, myself, and Booger McFarland on these halftime shows the next few days. Before we go, a reminder, you can listen to both college football playoff semifinals on ESPN Radio. Tune in 2:30 Eastern on Friday, December 31st for full coverage. And then starting on January 1st, 12 p.m. Eastern time, you can listen to the VRBO, Citrus Bowl, the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl, the Rose Bowl presented by Capital One Venture, and the Allstate Sugar Bowl in that order on ESPN Radio. The ESPN College Football Podcast will be back Monday with Herbie and Matt Berry recapping the biggest weekend in college football. Enjoy and Happy New Year. Stay safe.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.